Okay, I want you to know that Brother Matt and I, we got spiritual this morning. We didn't talk about our Kentucky basketball team. We kind of left that off of the platter this morning. Let me just say this. First of all, let's be sure we pray for our pastor. I talked to him on twice yesterday, and he's definitely got the flu. It must have it pretty bad, Miss Sonia. There you are over here. And I tell you, he sounded pretty rough. And so we need to pray for our pastor. Pray that God will lift him up, raise him up. And I believe God answers prayer. We love our preacher and we thank God for him. One of the reasons that Barbara and I moved over here some 12 years ago was because of this church and because of this pastor. We've known him since we've been in the ministry over 45 years, and we've known each other, and we think the world of I think the world of him, and I'm sure he does me, and I praise God for him. Isn't God good? You know, I don't think there's a thing that I could add to the Sunday school lesson this morning. Brother Mike really brought a tremendous message on missions this morning. And it just so happened that the Lord just didn't lead me that way into missions. And after I heard that, I know why. I'm supposed to be in Leesburg this morning in a missions conference, but a fellow called me and he said one of the churches dropped out because of sickness, and he said I'll be able to take them over Sunday. And so then Brother Carter called me, and so we had this open, and so I count it a great privilege to be here. Lord bless you. But be sure you pray for your preacher. I'm reminded of a story about a preacher. Now, my wife don't like me to tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Barbara, don't crawl under the pew. But I'm reminded of a preacher that went to the doctor. He went to the doctor, and when he got through checking him, the doctor out, you checked him, he said, you go wait out in the lobby and tell your wife I want to talk to her. So he went out in the lobby, and he waited, and his wife came in and talked to the doctor, and 5 minutes turned into 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, and pretty soon the preacher, he began to get nervous. He thought, my goodness sakes, what's wrong with me? I must be really sick, and he thought, boy, and he began to, all at once, he began to feel bad. He began to feel flush, and he began to really get sick, and 20 minutes went by, 25 minutes. Finally, she came out, and he tried to act real calm, and he got in the car with her, and they started home, and finally, he just couldn't help himself. He said, honey, what did the doctor say? She said, well, he told me that you're under a lot of stress. I said, oh, is that right? I said, well, what did he say about it? He said, well, he told me that when we get home that I ought to take your shoes off and massage your feet real good for you and bring you an iced tea, turn the TV on for you. And I said, oh, what else did he say? She said, well, he said that when it's time to go to bed that I ought to give you a good neck rub, massage your back and give you a good neck rub and be sure that we tuck you in real good, give you a nice upper. I'm beginning to feel good. I'm beginning to feel well. I feel like, man, I'm going to make it after all. And I said, well, what else did he say? He said, in the morning when I get up, said he told me that it would be one nice once in a while if I fixed your breakfast and gave you your breakfast in bed. Boy, listen, I really began to feel good. I mean, I really did. And I said, what else did he say? He said, nothing. I said, well, what did you say? She said, I told him you're going to die. Now, Miss Sonia, I didn't say that. Don't you dare go home. All right, Barbara, you can get out from under the seat now. All right. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, please, if you will, in the book of Philippians chapter number 3. I want to read two verses of scripture very familiar to you, verse number 13 and 14, and we want to talk to you for just a little bit. Let me just say this, the mission conference starts Wednesday night. The missions conference, I found out many, many years ago, I pastored for 30 years before I went in the mission work, pastored for 30 years, God blessed the ministries, but I found out this, I found out one day that the missions is the greatest meeting of your church. And it's sometimes the least attended. Now, it ought to be a jubilee. The missions ought to come. It ought to be a revival. I mean, it ought to be the greatest meeting of your church. It's when you really get the gospel and send it out. Like Brother Mike said this morning, you do it because you love the Lord. You come to your missions conference because you come to the Lord. You'll be back tonight if you love the Lord. I mean, sitting home watching TV and stuff like that while church is going on, that's not of God. Say amen or oh me. But you ought to be in God's house. And you ought to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. And I thank God for this church. I praise God for you. And I'm just glad there's a church like this that we can move over here and be a part of. But be faithful to God in your missions conference. And what a great, great service Mike gave us this morning. You do it because you love the Lord. Listen, everything you do should be because you love Him. And you ought to love Him because He first loved you. But let's look at, please, if you will, in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13 and 14. Paul says this. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we're going to stop right there. First of all, let me just say thank you for the good solo, for the quartet music. I thought it was just tremendous. And the music program, God bless each and every one of you. Brother Cruz, you do a great job. And God bless you. Where'd he go? There he is. All right. All right. You didn't want to stay on the same platform with me. All right. I quit throwing things a long time ago. We see Paul the apostle right here. We see Paul, first of all, we see him judging himself. He judges himself, and you know what he finds out? He finds out that he comes up short. If you read the book of Philippians, he's judging himself. It's a great book, a great book. You ought to study the book of Philippians. But he judges himself here. He's judging himself, and he says, man, I come up short. You know what? When I judge myself, I come up short every time. I do. Every time I judge myself, I look back and I think about things and I think, oh my, it should have been done different. And I judge myself. But the Bible says we are to examine ourselves. But then he goes ahead and he says this. He says, because of the things that's happened in the past, I'm not going to let it hinder me now. It's not going to stop me now. I'm going to keep right on going. I'm going to do what's right. And so that's what he does. He judges himself. And then he goes ahead, if you read the passage, and he says, I'm just going to keep on thinking. Then he says this. He said, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. You know, one of the biggest problems we've got is we do try to do too many things. We ought to keep our eyes on that one thing. That one thing. And Paul said, this one thing I do. Now, I want you to know something, folks. Yesterday's gone. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about yesterday. Forget about, tomorrow's not here yet. No use worrying about tomorrow. I catch myself doing it all the time. I catch myself thinking, oh my, we got mission conferences in March, mission conferences in next August that I've got to hand, and I begin to worry about it and think about it. Wait a minute. Forget about tomorrow. It's gone. It'll come. You know what you need to worry about? You need to worry about now. Today. Paul said, hey, it's today that you need to worry about. This one thing I do. And he talks about that. Today is what's here. You know what? We've got preachers quitting all over the place. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of preachers just quit. Quit. They give up. They say, I've had it. I'm through. I read the other day, we're 400,000 churches in North America, and 85% of them on the decline. That's sad. 3,500 of them are Baptist churches. 1,500 are independent Baptist churches. God help us to realize we need to get busy today. We don't need to start tomorrow. It's today. Right today, we need to get busy. I mean, this church, Landmark Baptist Church, hey, listen to me. Praise God for our preacher. I thank God. Listen, I thank God for a man his age that's still standing up and preaching as good as he's ever preached. I've never heard him preach any better. He's not a novice. He's preaching great, and we thank God for him. And we ought to get behind him, get behind our church and say, hey, this is my church. I want you to be back tonight. I want to challenge you tonight, if you will. Be here. But friend of mine, listen to me. Get behind your preacher. Pray for him and thank God for him. I praise God that I've got a preacher that stands up and still preaches with the power of God on him. Uncompromising. Doesn't matter whether he's on the radio or whether he's not. He tells you what's on his heart. He tells you what's in the Word of God. And we thank the Lord for a man like that. Oh, listen to me, friend of mine. Forget about yesterday and forget about tomorrow. Think about what you're going to do today. Oh, listen to me. We think about it. And friend of mine, I want you to know Brother Carter's preaching just like he's getting ready to start a brand new ministry. Boy, I thank God for that. Thank God for his vision of setting up a tent and say, hey, let's do something about reaching this place. And he'll come up with other things, I'm sure, and we'll get right behind it. Think about what we're going to do today. Now, listen to me. We should look in to examine ourselves, right? Amen. You look in. Look in. Listen, I don't like it when I look in. You know, the Bible says, Paul says, forget those things on yesterday. But when I begin to examine myself, you know, I come up short just like he did. And you know, when I begin to examine myself, Brother Perkins, you know what? I can't think of anything good I've done. I start thinking all the bad things, Brother Matt. Come on. You know, hey, this isn't a funeral home. Hey, you look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. And I look, and you know what I think? I begin to look inside, and I begin to think, oh my, if only my dad could come back, and I could say, Dad, I'm sorry. If only my mother could come back, and I could say, Mom, I'm sorry. I look back over my life, and now it's all that seems to come up is those things that I've done that I shouldn't have done. I hardly ever think of things where I've been blessed. It just seems like those things come back. Folks, I'm telling you, God gives you a conscience, brother. And those things, friend of mine, young people, you listen to me, those things that you do while you're young, they're going to stay with you the rest of your life. God give you a conscience, and God help us to look inside and examine ourselves and say, listen, I'm going to put that behind me. I can't forget it. I've got a conscience. I can't forget it. No, I can't forget it. But I'll tell you one thing. Paul said, I'm going to put it behind me, and I'm not going to let it hinder me. It's not going to hinder me. I'm going to keep going. Oh, listen, we should look up. Look up. So not only look in, you look up, so you depend upon God. You better depend upon him. He's the only one that you can depend on. Hey, listen, I found out a long time I can't depend on this federal government. We can't depend on this educational system we've got. We can't depend on society. I'm not going to depend on my Social Security. I'm going to depend upon the Lord God Almighty. Brother, he's the one that'll take care of me. He's the one that'll supply my every need. And I'm going to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to look up every day of our life. Today, we need to start and say, I'm looking up. I'm looking in, I'm looking up. But my friend, not only that, I'm going to look ahead. And I'm sure that's what our pastor's going to do. He's going to look ahead. We're going to look ahead at Landmark Baptist Church. We're going to see what's out there. Hey, I can remember as a young man when this place was a speck. Haines City, it was just a speck on the map. When I was some 50 years ago when I started in the ministry. Now I look here and I say one of the greatest things that's ever happened as far as a Baptist church is this one right here. What's been done here by you folks, friend of mine, I want you to know something. It's a great thing. This is one of the greatest churches in America. It may not be one of the big mega churches that we've heard about, but I want you to know it's one of the greatest churches in this particular area that I can think of in my life. God, help us to realize that we need to depend upon God and we need to expect God to bless. I believe he's going to bless. I believe he's going to bless this church. I believe it's going forward. And we need to start today. We don't wait till tomorrow. We don't wait till next week. We say, hey, wait, I'm going to do something today. I want to see some things quickly. Number one, Paul talks about the past. He said, I want you to forget those things in the past. Forget them. You know something? It's hard to forget your past sins, isn't it? Paul said, I have to forget. Paul was a sinner. Paul went around killing people. He had people killed. He had the church. He had it all. He did everything he could to destroy the church. But my friend one day got saved, and he said, I've got to put that behind me. Friend of mine, listen to me. We've done things in our life we've got to put behind us and keep on going. You know, listen, we start feeling sorry for ourselves sometime, don't we? You know, about 3 or 4 years ago, my brother Ray Hancock, how many of you know Ray? You've heard of him. Ray's probably one of the most familiar guys in the fundamental movement that there is today. He's 11 years older than I am, but I've known him all my ministry. Ray called me 3 or 4 years ago, and he said, Brother Scotty, he said, I want you to do something. He didn't call me Brother Scotty. He said, Scotty, I want you to do something. I said, what's that? He said, I want you to take part with Jack Treiber in my funeral. I said, what are you talking about, Ray? I'll probably die before you. And he said, no, no. He said, listen, let's just look at reality. He said, I'm several years older than you. And he said, I want you and Jack Treiber to hold my funeral. And I said, well, Doc, I'll do anything you ask me to, but I said, you know, I don't want to even talk about your funeral. Wait a minute, a few months ago, he called me. He said, Scotty, he said, I'm calling just a few of the people, especially the people I want to be involved. He said, I've got cancer. Now, his wife just passed away over here in Tampa. He was down here holding a revival meeting, woke up on a Sunday morning and said, honey, it's time to go to church. And she didn't move. He found out she had died. Miss Neal died right there in bed. On a Sunday morning. And here it is now, just a few months later, he calls me up and he says, now, Scotty, he said, listen, he said, I've got cancer. He said, I've got cancer of the pancreas. And he said, I'm going to John Hopkins Hospital. And he said, I want you to pray for me. I did. I prayed for him. He called me not long ago, within the last couple of weeks. And he said, now, Scotty, he said, listen, he said, I found out that the cancer is in my liver now. He said, my doctors here have told me that I've got about 3 or 4 months to live. And he said, I'm just calling you now to remind you, you're going to take part in my funeral, aren't you? I said, Doc, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And here's what he said. I said, where are you? He said, I'm in Houston, Texas. I said, what are you doing down there? He said, I'm preaching for Johnny Pope. I said, you're down there preaching, and you're supposed to have this cancer. The doctors told you got 3 or 4 months to live. He said, oh, yeah. He said, now, when I get back, he said, I got to catch a flight out to California and preach for Jack Treiber. I said, Doc, it wouldn't surprise me if you'd be playing golf again. He loves golf. I said, wouldn't surprise me if you'd be out on. And he said, well, he said, last Wednesday, he said, I played 5 holes. You know, thank God for somebody like that. Thank God. Here's a man whose the doctors have said, you're going to be dead in 3 or 4 months. And yet he's out in Houston preaching, going to California preaching, out playing golf. And he said, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing as long as I can do it. Hey, let me tell you something. If he can do that, you and I can be faithful to God. We can be faithful to our church. We can be faithful and back up our preacher in all of these things. We need to forget our past sin. We need to forget our past sorrow. We need to forget our past failures. Listen, folks, it's easy to fail. That's why they've got an eraser on a pencil. You know, one of my heroes, of course, I love sports. You know that, Matt, you know that. I try to wait till we get out the door to talk about Kentucky basketball, but we usually don't make it. By the way, they're playing at 12 o'clock today. I better hurry. Listen, our past failure. Did you know Babe Ruth? Babe Ruth, to me, he did one of the most unusual things that I've ever seen in sports. He's the fellow that pointed to the center field fence and hit the next pitch over the center field wall. It's unimaginable. I played ball. I can't understand a man that would do something like that, but he did it. He was something. But did you know something? He hit 714 home runs. How many of you knew that? Babe Ruth, 700. Did you know he struck out over 1,400 times? For every home run he struck out twice. Hey, let me tell you, brother, it's easy to fail. You know what you've got to do? You got to put it behind you. You've got to say, hey, I have failed. There's times in my life I've failed. But wait a minute, I'm going to start today, and I'm going to start trying to do something for God. Amen. I'm going to back up my church. I want to back up my preacher. I'm going to do what I can to serve the Lord and forget these things. Listen, God can take a broken heart, friend of mine. You may be in sorrow today, but I want you to know God can take your broken heart and he can play beautiful music with it. Back in the 50s, Barbara and I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Charles Weigel was there. We were sitting eating lunch with Charles Weigel. I would say he was close to 90, might have been 90 at that time, I'm not sure. And we began to talk to him. I'll never forget he gave the testimony. He was a young man called of God to preach. He was going to be a preacher. And he went and studied, went and got some education so that he could preach the word of God. And he believed with all of his heart that's what God wanted him to do. Lived in Miami. And all at once his wife looked at him and said, "Hey, I'm not going to have anything to do with a preacher. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. If you're going to be a preacher, I'm gone." And she did. She left him. It broke his heart. It broke his heart. And old Charles Weigel said this. He said, "I went down to Biscayne Bay." And he said, "I stood there at Biscayne Bay ready to jump in and kill myself." He said, "I was so brokenhearted. My wife had left. God had called me to preach." And he said, "I'm ready to jump in. I'm ready to commit suicide." But he said, "God spoke to my heart." He said, "I turned around. I walked back home." He said, "I walked down. I sat down to the piano. And I played the song, 'No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus.'" Amen. Wait a minute, the song came out of a broken heart. But that song is played all over the world today. People sing it all over the world. We sing it here. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Oh, it came from a man whose heart was torn apart because his wife had left him. And he didn't know what to do. But praise God, I want you to know people have been saved because of that. I heard about one man that got saved. He was a black man in prison. And he heard that on his radio while he was in prison on death row. And he heard "No one ever cared for him like Jesus." He got on his knees and he trusted Christ as his personal savior. And friend of mine, as he was marching to death row, they said, he began to sing, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. There's no other such a friend as he. No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And into the electric chair he went, singing the song, "No one ever cared for me." Hey, listen, God knows what he's doing. God can take your heart and he can make it play music. He can do it. But secondly, we see something else. We see there's a purpose here, a purpose. He says, reaching forth, reaching forth. You know something? We ought to reach out. We ought to reach out to the promises of God. Do you still believe in God? Do you still believe that Jesus Christ can take care of your every need? Do you believe he can supply every need that you've got? Hey, listen to me. Hey, we need to get this back up. We need to get our mission program back up. I believe it. I believe it's just like Mike said this morning. If you love the Lord, hey, we can get the gospel and send it to a lost and dying world that's on its way to hell. God, help us to believe. Oh, he said, reaching forth. Reach for the plan of God for your life. God's got something for you, young people. You're here for a reason. Every single one of you. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Young people, I was your age. Every person in here that's got gray hair can look and say, "You know, it just seems like yesterday I was your age. I never thought I'd get this old." Did you? Now, some of you look as old as me now. Hey, listen, I never dreamed. I've got a cousin 6 months older than me in Kentucky. We call each other on our birthday. Our birthdays are exactly 6 months apart. And every time I call him or he calls me, he says, "Scotty," he said, "I never thought we'd ever live to be this old." Hey, I tell you what, I never thought I'd live to be this old. Somebody asked me, they said, "Brother Scotty wants you to get up there and preach." I said, "At my age, you can't preach. You just give little talks." Isn't God good? Amen. God's good. Hey, listen to me. Forget about those things, brother. Don't let those things hinder you. Hey, we're going to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, brother. Oh, I read about the girl that went to Africa. and she went to Africa, and she was there for quite some time, and she would send poems back to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dr. Robertson would put them in the Evangelist, and they would go out all over the world, those poems. She came home for furlough. Her parents talked her into not going back to Africa. She never wrote another poem. My friend, let me tell you something. You can't quit. You can't give up. You will amount to nothing if you quit. God help us to say, no, I will not quit. I will not. I will not. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to reach out for the plan that God has for my life. And let me tell you something. If you're here breathing today, God does have a plan for your life. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, if you're breathing, God's got a plan for your life. And brother, listen, it's a member of Landmark Baptist Church, and you ought to put your heart into it. You do it for him. Like Mike said this morning, you do it because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, he loved me. Oh, listen, reach for the peace of God. Not much peace today. 27 preachers killed themselves last year. You know the number two killer of young people, teenagers, suicide. Automobile accidents, number one, suicide, number two. God help us. Can you imagine? Now, I'm going to tell you, I've never thought about killing myself. I had someone the other day told me, said, man, you know, I've thought about it. I thought, well, help yourself, not me. I'm too big of a coward. But isn't it a shame, though? Isn't it a shame? So much is going on. What a shame it is. But thirdly, we see him pressing. He said, I press towards the mark. Pressing means I wrestle. I run. Yeah. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I want to be first in everything I do. Don't you? I mean, I do, Brother Matt. He was talking about his girls' basketball team. Hey, I want them to be number one. Man, I played ball. Brother, I played ball. Cheated a little bit, too. I remember a basketball game I was in. The old boy was averaging 35 points a game, and I was to guard him, and I pulled a little hair on his leg once in a while. He scored 10 points, and we won. My mother went to the basketball. Barbara, would you please look up here? It's not time to pray. I had a good mom. I really did. My mother, boy, she hovered over me. And I loved her, boy, my ma. I honest to God, I wished I could call her back. Just to say, Ma, I love you. I'm sorry I caused you so much trouble. Hey, young people, we cause our parents so much trouble, but it's going to come back one day. That old scripture, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You go ahead and cause Mom and Dad problems, and one day you're going to have something that's going to cause you problems. But Ma, God bless her heart. I'd take her to a basketball game. Finally, she looked at me and she said, son, she said, don't ask me to go to any more basketball games. Says, you do nothing but embarrass me. She said, every time I go to a game, you get kicked out. Hey, listen to me. Hey, I want to be first, Matt. We ought to be that way. We ought to be that way. Listen, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm trying to put a truth across to you. Hey, listen, we want Haines City. We want Landmark Baptist Church to be one. Am I right? I want my preacher to stand up here and preach with the power of God on his life. I want to be able to say my preacher's Mickey Carter. I want to be able to go everywhere, and everywhere I go, I tell people, I'm a member of Landmark Baptist Church. My preacher's Pastor Mickey Carter. I'm proud of it. And brother, let me tell you something. That's the way we ought to be. Oh, listen to me. The pressing, desire, be first. Oh, Bear Bryant said, man, he said, I don't even like a tie. That's like kissing your cousin. Dedication, dedication, determination. Be determined. I'm determined. I like Chad McMullen, don't you? He's a great guy. You know, he's determined. He wears those quarters on his lapel everywhere he goes. He goes everywhere and he says, listen, I collect quarters for Bibles. He said, fill it up. Fill it up. And he got, listen, he's almost hitting the $2 million mark on raising money for Bibles to send to a lost and dying world. Thank God for somebody like that. Somebody who says, this one thing I do. Brother, let me tell you, he's got bad knees. He's had cancer in a couple of different places. He's had all kinds of physical problems. But I want you to know he's still going. And he's still doing his best to raise money to send Bibles to a lost and dying world. Don't tell me we can't do something. We can do something. God, help us to realize, to be determined about this thing of serving the Lord. Then there's the prize. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Boy, that's a good thing. It's a happy call. The prize of the high calling. That's a happy call. You know, we ought to come to church happy. You know, honest to goodness, I'll never forget. I went and started in a church, and I got up to preach, and there was about 45 people in a 500-seat auditorium sitting in the back. And they started out the music program, I come to the garden of... I said, wait a minute. What are you doing singing something like that? You don't sing something like that starting the program. Man, you get up and you sing, oh, I heard an old, old story, how the Savior, hey, you ought to come to church happy. Yeah. Listen, hey, Miss Johnson, when it comes time for the offering, play something good. Don't play some dead funeral march. Man, I mean, hey, we ought to get happy about this matter of giving. Hey, praise God, it's time to take up the offering. Boy, I can't wait. I can't wait till the end of the month to get my Social Security check so I can pay my tithe. I enjoy it. Praise God for that amen back there. I'd like for somebody to raise their hand and say, glory to God. Hey, church ought to be happy. We ought to come to the house of God, brother, looking for God to do great and wonderful things. Listen, I want you to know Christ gives joy. He didn't mean for us to come to the house of God and act like we're at a funeral service or something. Come to church and act like we eat persimmons for breakfast. Hey, I mean, listen, hey, we ought to go around. Praise God. How you doing there, Brother Perkins? God bless you. Amen. Get back to the radio. You too, Brother Matt. God bless you, brother. Amen. Hey, we ought to be happy, happy. I want you to know something, friend of mine. Listen, following Jesus Christ is happy, joy. It's a heavenly call, working for the King of Kings to be able to come to the house of God and say, brother, I'm on business for Jesus Christ. It's a helpful call, helping others. Others, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. Others, that's what it's all about. Others, not me, not iPad, not iPhone, not I, others. Folks, listen, a lot of regrets. I've been here 76 years, look back over my life, and I see nothing but a lot of regrets. But you know something? We need to put it behind and start today. I was holding a funeral service one time over on Highway 301. Never forget it. We got through with the funeral service. The graveyard was isn't it nice how they flower up things they call graveyard cemeteries now, and they call drunkards alcoholics, and well, we've got real nice names for everything, but it's a graveyard. Walked out to the graveyard, took the casket over to the hole. As we were walking to the hole, I looked over about the length of this building, and I saw an older man standing over a mound of dirt. I saw him just standing there, his arms folded, just standing there looking at that mound of dirt. I saw that. We went ahead and had the services at the cemetery. I had the short service, but I kept looking up and I kept seeing that man. And something inside me said, Scotty, you need to go and see that man. You need to go talk to him. The service ended and everybody got in their car. I went and got in my car. I could see that man as I drove out of the cemetery and rode down 301. I got down 301 probably 2 or 3 miles. And after going down the road, I kept seeing that man. I said, I've got to turn around. I turned around and I went into the cemetery. I drove up to the mound of dirt, but he was gone. You know something? That happened probably 30 years ago. I can still see him. I wonder where he is. I wonder, did he go to hell? Because I didn't go see him when I should have. Folks, listen to me.